I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer in 2003. I was 26 years old. There aren't a whole lot of 26-year-olds that get colon cancer.
It causes secondary cancers, right? There's no doctor that will deny or argue with the fact that chemotherapy is also carcinogenic, right? That's why when they administer it, they have to wear two sets of gloves. And if it spills on the floor, there's this very specific procedure to clean it up. They cannot get it on their skin.
This is my homemade salad dressing. Extra virgin olive oil, organic's of course better, but this is not organic. And I put this on pretty liberally. Usually go in a couple circles, go around like this. Liberal with that, and then Bragg's organic apple cider vinegar.
So probably the main reason I didn't do it is it destroys your immune system. When it's killing rapidly reproducing cells, one of the main parts of your anatomy that it destroys are your white blood cells.
We can get this coconut open, and you'll see there's the meat. Inside is the coconut juice. So what I want to do is put that juice in my blender.
I bet everyone in this room has probably heard this story from somebody with cancer. They got cancer, they went through surgery, they had chemotherapy. A few months go by, big announcement, there's no evidence of cancer, it's gone. Everybody's so excited, right? And then a few months later to a year later, it's back. But this time, it's all over their body. It's just like taken over. And that's why. It's because their immune system is gone. And it causes secondary cancer. So you've got this double whammy effect with chemo.
What are you going to do with it if somebody's been trying to deliver something to you, like we've been trying to deliver the truth? Greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. My next guest was diagnosed with cancer at a young age. He's here on the Dean Show to give those some hope, some good feeling after a long feeling of probably helplessness. Maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer. You're one of the 50%. You fought. That's one in two expected to have cancer. You've been diagnosed with it, or you want to prevent it. Now, here's some things that you can do that go beyond the conventional methods that I think, and I know for sure, if you have an open mind, you're sincere, and you want to know, you'll truly benefit from this individual's unique story. And many people are going towards this way of connecting and putting into the body the things that the Creator, that the Almighty has given us. It's our God-given right. So make sure you make some time. Watch this episode with this exciting show with my next guest, Chris, who beat cancer. We'll be right back. This is the Dean Show. Welcome back to the Dean Show. I have a special treat. We have Chris B. Cancer, with us here on the Dean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thank God. Good. Thank you for being with us. Paint us a picture, Chris. I want to know, you know, have it hit home, because we know 50%, is that correct? 50% of people, it's estimated, living today will have cancer. 1 in 3 males will die from it. Is this correct?
That's about right. Yeah, you know, 1 in every 2 men will be diagnosed. And I'm not sure if the 1 in every 3 will die from it is correct, but we know that 1 out of every 2 men and a little bit less than 1 out of every 3 women are predicted to be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. So it's, yeah, pretty significant problem in the Western world.
Now look at you. I mean, young man, you know, full of life. I mean, you think someone gets cancer when they're like in their 60s, 70s, but how old were you when you were diagnosed with cancer?
I was diagnosed at 26, and young adult cancer is on the rise, and so is, childhood cancer. The rates of childhood cancer have exploded. The rates of young adult cancer have risen sharply in the last few decades, and this is because our diet and lifestyle is so toxic. We live in a toxic world, we're surrounded by environmental pollution, and we're eating a diet that is loaded with artificial flavors, colors, fats, right, and preservatives, all kinds of stuff that your body was never meant to ingest.
Now paint that picture that I was asking you earlier, that now, I mean, you're going about your life, and what is it? You get a pain, and people can't fathom, like, how does that feel? What's the emotion? What's the signals that you're getting? And then finally you're diagnosed. Paint that scenario, that picture for us.
Yeah, well, you know, it's different for everybody, but for me, I was having abdominal pain, and I thought I had an ulcer, and I put it off for months, and then eventually went to the doctor because the pain gradually got worse and worse over time, and they thought I had an ulcer too, and gave me some medication, didn't help, and eventually I had a colonoscopy because the gastroenterologist was like, well, we don't really know what else to do, so why don't we have a look around in there and see what we see, and he saw a golf ball-sized tumor in my large intestine. That's... and so they took a biopsy and sent it to the lab and called me, you know, I guess the next day or the next, it was either the next day or the 2 days later, and said, the test came back and you have colon cancer.
I mean, okay, so you're a young man, you know, late 20s, early 20s, and you
26.
Get 26, you get this news. What were you doing before then? What was your lifestyle like? I mean, as far as food and just, you know, being active, and what was your lifestyle like before?
You know, I was a real estate entrepreneur, so I was really busy, a lot of stress. I was renting houses, flipping houses, trying to build a business, and just running around eating a standard American diet. Tons of fast food, processed food, junk food, lots of meat and dairy, sugar, salt, oils. You know, all this processed Western diet garbage, really. And it's the same diet that most Americans eat is what I was eating. It just caught up to me a lot sooner than most Americans, right? But like I said a minute ago, young adult cancer is on the rise. I was in the fast food generation. Like, I grew up on fast food, and my parents did not, right? Fast food really took off in the 80s, and then, of course, the 90s, and, you know, today it's bigger than ever. And so that's why we're seeing such an increase in cancer rates in young people.
Now, you, the cancer specialists are the oncologists, right? So did you go see an oncologist, and he was talking about doing some chemo, radiation? Was that an option on the table that you were exploring?
So the first thing they did was they rushed me into surgery because they said, look, you got this tumor. We got to get it out of you before it spreads and kills you, which is what they tell every cancer patient. There's always this sort of rush of fear and panic, right, that we've got to get you into treatment right away. There's no time to waste. You know, it doesn't matter that it's been growing for 10 years. You know, now it's about to kill you overnight. That's always the way they treat cancer patients. So I was rushed into surgery. I had surgery a week later after I was diagnosed. It was December 30th, 2003, not to give away the ending of the story, right? And then they found out it was stage 3C, so it was worse than they thought. They told me I needed 9 to 12 months of chemotherapy. And a couple things happened in the hospital that got me thinking differently about the medical industry. And the first thing that happened was the first meal that they served me after cutting out a third of my large intestine was a sloppy Joe.
Right.
You know what a sloppy Joe is?
I know what a sloppy Joe is, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like mystery meat slopped on a burger bun. It's like the worst cafeteria food you can think of, right? It's like what they feed, you know, kids at summer camp, cafeteria lunch food, right? Military rations.
Yeah. Wow.
And I was just shocked that they were feeding this to me after cutting out part of my guts, right? And then a few days later, the surgeon comes in who operated on me, and I asked him, are there any foods I need to be eating or avoiding? Because, you know, instinctively, I thought, yeah, maybe there's some food I should eat. You know, my instincts were telling me that my diet mattered, right? So I asked the surgeon, and he said, no, just don't lift anything heavier than a beer.
Wow. That was it. That was the advice.
That's it.
That was it.
That was it. And so, you know, I left the hospital, went home, and I was recovering from surgery, and, you know, it was rough. I mean, they cut me open. And, like, you know, all my abdominal muscles were trying to, you know, grow back together. And my wife and I were, well, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I was having this increasing uncertainty about chemotherapy. I just couldn't imagine myself going through that. I didn't want to do it. Like, my instincts were telling me no, like, don't do that. But I didn't know what else to do. And so my wife and I prayed about it. We're Christians, we're believers, and so, like, you know, I'm just like, God, help. Like, I don't know what to do. If there's another way besides chemotherapy, just please show me. Right? Show me the way. And 2 days later, a book shows up on my doorstep that was mailed to me from a man in Alaska. I live in Tennessee. And this book was called God's Way to Ultimate Health, A Common Sense Guide for Eliminating Sickness Through Nutrition. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. You know, right? I asked for some help, and this book shows up. So I start to read it, and I learn right away that the author of the book had watched his mother suffer and die from cancer treatment, not from cancer. He had watched many people he knew suffer and die from cancer and cancer treatment, and he was a pastor of a church. And then he got diagnosed with colon cancer, just like me, but he made a very different decision. He refused chemotherapy, surgery, radiation, and he had a buddy that said, you need to go back to eating like they did in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis. You need to eat a diet of just raw fruits and vegetables. And also, you should drink a lot of carrot juice. And
this is in the book. This is
every day. Yeah. This is this man's story.
Yeah.
And a year later, his tumor was gone.
So he's talking about going back to eat real food, the way that God intended for us to eat, real food.
That's right. Real food from the earth, whole food, right? Organic. And his body healed. The tumor went away in a year. It was gone. And I was just like, this is it. Like, I prayed. I got this, like, this book, and this is what I'm going to do. This is exactly what I'm going to do. And overnight, I converted to a raw vegan diet. I went out and bought a juicer, bought giant 25-pound bags of organic juice and carrots. And I went from eating 1 to 2 servings of fruits and vegetables every day to eating between 15 and 20 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. And I'm going to tell you, that makes a huge impact in your health when you do that. And so I started feeling really good and felt kind of bad at first because, you know, a lot of us have junk food withdrawals, meat and dairy withdrawal, protein withdrawal. Like, we just start to feel bad if we make a radical change like that. It's very normal for your body to not know what to do, and it takes a little time for the body to adapt. But so after the sort of break-in period of 3 or 4 days of feeling kind of lousy, I felt amazing. And from there, I was really excited about just going down this path. But I was surrounded by people, my wife who loves me, and a lot of family members who thought I was completely nuts. They thought I was making a huge mistake, and they were trying to talk me out of it. And there was so much pressure.
Talk you out of what? Going to do the chemo?
Talk me out of what I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I told them, I don't really want to do chemo.
Yeah.
And there was so much pressure that I reluctantly agreed to go see the oncologist. Because, you know, I mean, when everyone around you is telling you, please, please go talk to the doctor, please listen to us, you know, you're like, okay, right? So, you know, we go to see the oncologist. He told me I had a 60% chance of living 5 years with treatment. I'm like, well, that's not encouraging. I asked him about the raw food diet. He said, you can't do that. It'll fight the chemo. I asked him if there were any alternative therapies available, and he said, no, there are none. If you don't do chemotherapy, you're insane. And I left that appointment so afraid and, you know, just completely in a totally stressed, anxious, fearful state. And I went and made an appointment to get a port put in a few weeks to start chemo. You know, I went into the clinic confident in what I was doing, feeling good, and I left terrified. Because that's the way cancer clinics operate. They're like a fear factory. And all they're doing is, you know, promoting all this fear to manipulate patients to say yes to treatment before they even have a chance to think about their life and why they're sick.
But you said you started to feel better before you went in. Your confidence was growing.
I've been on the raw food diet for a week.
And just from a week, you started to feel tremendous difference.
I was feeling really good and really confident. And it was just all that confidence was shattered in one appointment with this doctor.
Can we say that the doctors, the oncologists, they're doing what they're trained to do? That do they study nutrition? Do they study? This is a whole new world. This is a whole new science of food and nutrition. So do they get any training there about this?
Yeah, but see, the thing is, it's not a new science.
For them. I mean, for them.
That's the thing.
It's not.
Nutritional science is not new. But no, they don't get training.
Okay.
Right? They're not trained on nutrition.
So they can't advise you then.
Not trained on how to use nutrition to help patients heal their chronic diseases. What they're trained to do is prescribe a drug to help with the symptoms of a chronic disease.
Gotcha.
They're trained to perform surgical procedures to remove body parts that are affected by a chronic disease that was caused, in most cases, by your bad diet. And they're trained to give you chemotherapy to kill cancer cells, which doesn't solve the underlying problem in your body. The reason that you have cancer is not the tumor, right? The tumor is the symptom of the disease. It is not the disease itself. The disease is head to toe. You're sick. You got a sick body. You have a metabolic disease. You're overloaded. You're toxic. You are probably stressed to the max, and you're not taking care of yourself. And you're in an environment, you may be working around toxic chemicals or had some toxic chemical exposure. But for most cancer patients, there is a convergence of multiple health-destroying factors in their life that are all present, right, that are persisting in their life for many months or years. And that leads them into cancer, right? It breaks them down over time. They become vulnerable and weak, and their body becomes a place where cancer can thrive. Because what we know is that everyone has cancer cells. There are thousands of cancer cells, potentially, that form in your body every day. But your immune system is designed to identify and eliminate those rogue cells. But it's only when you're overloaded and toxic and your immune system is suppressed, or overloaded, or both, right, that it can't keep up with the demand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's when cancer, that's when lumps, bumps, lesions, tumors form and are allowed to sort of grow unchecked in the body.
It's like, when did you think that you had no purpose? Are you worthless? The value comes from purpose.
Your purpose in life is to worship the Creator, not worship your desires and self, not worship social pressure, the celebrity culture, but worship the thing that's much higher and transcendent, above and beyond. By worshiping God and seeking His pleasure, you get pleased. So you have double pleasure.
Many people have you found that they find this very difficult, or they're not conscious that there's such a strong food-sickness relationship?
Yeah, and most people don't have any connection to that their diet is making them sick. They've never been told that. Their doctors certainly aren't telling them that. But what we know is that when you look around the world at population studies and disease rates around the world, they're very different than the U.S. When you look at rural countries, developing countries, third world countries, have much lower rates of most of the cancers we have.
Mm-hmm.
Breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer. A lot of these cancers are 5, 10, 15, 20 times lower in other parts of the world, because they're not eating meat and dairy three times a day. They're not eating all this processed sugar, tons of salt, tons of oils, all these refined foods. And guess what? They're not getting all the rich people diseases that we get in rich nations. Even though some people watching this may say, well, I don't feel very rich, right? If you live in America, you're in the top 1% richest people in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Saying that includes if you live in Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand. So we eat a rich man's diet, and we have rich man's disease. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, these are rich people diseases.
Well, what if someone says, well, you're an anomaly. I mean, you're somebody who's special now. You were saved this way. You know, the doctor told you had so much time to live, and you continue on from there. So he told you that you only had, what, 6 years at most to live, and you were insane.
He said, I had a 60% chance of living
chance.
Five years.
5 years.
Of making it to the five-year mark. That doesn't mean I would be cancer-free at 5 years. Just means statistically, as a cancer patient, the odds were 60% of cancer patients are alive 5 years after their diagnosis. That's all it means.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're healthy. Doesn't mean they don't have cancer. Just means their heart's beating, right? And they're alive. They could be on their deathbed. So that statistic is virtually worthless. You're right, though. Some people do think, oh, I'm just lucky. Oh, it's just an anomaly or whatever. And I've interviewed... And I've spoken to hundreds of people that have healed cancer, but I've interviewed over 50 people on chrisbeatcancer.com, my site, that have healed with nutrition and natural therapies.
How many?
Over 50
uh-huh.
now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just been doing it in my spare time, you know, over the years. And I've got the most incredible healing stories and interviews on my site. And these are people who have had even more severe cancers than me, like stage 4 pancreatic cancer, healed without surgery, right? Leukemia, breast cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, I mean, melanoma, thyroid cancer, you name it, brain cancer. I interviewed a guy yesterday, haven't even posted it yet, healed his brain cancer after surgery and radiation failed, and he healed it with a macrobiotic diet. It's a plant-based diet. So in 6 months, his tumor was gone. Just from nutrition, just from a diet change. Now, it's a radical diet change.
Yeah.
But that's how powerful nutrition is. When you give the body the right stuff, it's like really incredible, amazing things can happen in your body. And I'm not even selling anything, right? I'm not selling some lotion or potion or pill, right? Just telling people, like, you have the power to change, and you'll be amazed at what happens when you do make these dramatic changes to your diet.
Have you seen this doctor since?
No, I never went back.
Just purposely to go back and share your work now because you're out there helping.
I don't care to do that, and these doctors don't care either. You see, I know lots of cancer patients, and it's always the same story. When they go back to the doctor and show them, look, I'm well, the tumor's gone, and they do the test, and the doctor says, yeah, wow, yeah, that's fantastic. Next.
Yeah.
They don't care. They do not care. And the ones that do care, they're powerless anyway. They can't say, wow, let's take what you did and give it and try it with some other patients. That never happens. Well, because doctors are handcuffed by the medical industry to only prescribe surgery, chemo, and radiation. So they don't have any flexibility. I mean, in other approved drug therapies. They have no flexibility, no medical freedom to treat a patient in the manner in which that patient wants to be treated. And that's a real tragedy. And you know, people like me hope to see that change in our lifetime, where patients have medical freedom, where you can go to the doctor and say, hey, I want to be treated with this therapy. And the doctor says, okay, we can do that. We can work with you.
What are some of the most important things that cancer patients need to know that you advise now through your experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the main thing a cancer patient needs to understand is that for most patients is that you have time. Don't rush into anything that you don't feel good about. And you have options. There's a whole world of information on healing the body with nutrition and natural therapies, natural, non-toxic methods, right? That will not make you worse. They will only support health and healing in your body. But you do need to take full control of your life, and you need to be willing to change everything. This is what's so important about cancer. It's a wake-up call. It's a divine tap on the shoulder. And the message is, hey, the way you're living is killing you. The only appropriate response to that is, okay, maybe I do need to change my life. Maybe I need to take a hard look in the mirror at who I am, like who I've become. What am I eating? Where am I spending my time? Am I smoking? Am I drinking? Am I staying up all night? Am I, you know, engaged in just unhealthy, destructive living and behavior and thoughts? Do I live in a toxic part of town? Do I work in a toxic environment, right? Am I harboring a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment and negativity and jealousy and envy? Like, am I just a ball of negative emotions and unhappiness? Because if the answers to those questions are yes, 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 that sounds like me, then you have a lot of work to do. And the good news is you have this huge opportunity to change, completely change who you are and how you are, right? The way you live, the way you eat, your relationships, everything. And so, you know, what I encourage cancer patients to do is, like I said, take a hard look at their life and then take massive action, changing everything that they know or think might be contributing to their sickness, to their disease, to their unhappiness. Mm-hmm. We know that stress is a major a promoter of cancer because stress suppresses your immune system. And you know, most cancer patients have tons of stress in their life before they get cancer. Then they get this diagnosis, which is a stress bomb, And now their stress is even worse than before, right? And a lot of them get very depressed, right? When you're depressed, your immune system just like almost shuts down when you're struggling with depression, anxiety, and fear. And so it becomes a vicious cycle of, you know, stress, anxiety, and fear that keeps you in a chronic state of immunosuppression. I mean, cancer patients, it's not uncommon for them to suffer from PTSD just from the diagnosis, right? Post-traumatic stress disorder from the traumatic, life-changing event that was the cancer diagnosis. So what I try to do is encourage people and to say, hey, it's okay. Like, this is not the end of the world. This is the beginning of a new chapter in your life. This is an opportunity for you to change. And you need to believe that bad things turn into good things. Like, bad things in life always produce good things down the road. And don't get hung up in the bad that's happening right now. Look forward to the good that it can produce and believe that you can get well. And then take massive action to change your life and to promote health and healing in your body, and start reading and researching. I mean, go to chrisbeatcancer.com. Go to my website. There are hundreds of articles and interviews with about healing with nutrition, tons of interviews with people that have healed all types of cancers. And it's all free. It's all free for you, right? If you want to read and learn and be inspired and encouraged and learn exactly what people have done to heal, it's right there for you. So, you know, I created that site to be what didn't exist.
Yeah.
For me, I was sick in 2004, you know, diagnosed in December 2003, and going through this process, and the internet was not helpful to me at that time. I only had a handful of books, and that was it. Didn't have any support groups, there was no YouTube, there's no Facebook, none of that. It wasn't there. And so I was very much alone.
Is your cancer pretty much, is it gone now?
Yeah, my cancer's been gone.
It's totally...
it's been 12 years.
How are you feeling now compared to how you were living before?
There's no comparison, man. Uh-huh. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I've got two beautiful little girls that wouldn't be here if I'd done chemotherapy.
Uh-huh.
I probably wouldn't either. And a beautiful wife. And this incredible, you know, opportunity and really blessing to be able to share my story around the world and travel and speak. And I mean, man, my life is awesome. It's so good. I'm just so blessed to be doing what I'm doing. And yes, I'm not a cancer
Chris patient. What if someone says, look, man, well, these... how do you know? Because we're trained to believe that doctors know best. So now you have Chris here on the one hand telling us one thing, but you have my doctor. That's what he went to school for. That's what he's educated for. That's why we go to see the doctor, because the doctor knows best. And he's telling me...
The doctor knows best on what he's taught.
Mm-hmm.
They know best on what they're taught. They're taught on how to prescribe drugs, how to perform surgery, how to administer radiation therapy. They're experts in that stuff. But if you ask your doctor, and listen, I've got the best resource for any cancer patient on my site. It's called 20 Questions for Your Oncologist. If you think your doctor knows best, ask him these questions, and you'll find out how much he really knows and doesn't know.
Give us a couple of those. What are a couple of them, and they can see the rest on your site.
The first question, here's the problem. Most cancer patients don't know the right questions to ask, okay? So they get this diagnosis. They're totally afraid. It's like deer in the headlights, right? They're just shaking with fear and anxiety. They go to the doctor, and the questions they ask are, am I going to lose my hair?
Uh-huh.
Am I going to feel bad? You know, can I work, or do I need to take off of work? Those are the questions they ask, right? What they need to be asking is, how effective is this treatment? I mean, does the treatment you recommend for me cure cancer, yes or no? Will this treatment cure my cancer? That's question number one. Like, and most patients don't even ask it. And when they do, they're surprised to hear the doctor say, well, no, you know, this is not we don't know if it'll cure it. Probably, you know, probably will. I mean, they're just going to kind of bumble around, because the answer is no. For most cancers, chemo doesn't cure it, right? They know it can shrink a tumor, right? And everybody gets excited because they got some chemo and their tumor shrunk a little bit. But it's going to start growing right away as soon as the chemo's over, and it's going to start growing more aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Another question that patients have to ask is this curative or palliative? See, curative treatment, means the doctor actually believes there's a chance, slim chance, but there's a chance that the chemo treatments, that you know, surgery, chemo, and radiation together, or whatever the standard of care is, the protocol they're recommending, that there's a chance that it could cure the patient, right? That means that's curative. Palliative means, no, we know there's no cure for what you have, because maybe you're stage four, or maybe you have pancreatic cancer, which they've never cured. And so we're just giving you chemo because we think it'll slow it down. We think it'll extend your quality of life. Improve your quality of life. We think it'll extend your life, right? But who wants to live longer and suffer, right? It's about extending your health span, not your lifespan.
Yeah.
So those are two really important questions, but there's a lot more in this guy. It's free. It's a free guide. They just go to my site. It's right there.
Yeah.
It's in the sidebar. Just download it.
Okay.
And take it to your doctor and go through. And the guide is a 1-hour audio where I walk through all the questions with you. And there's a transcript and the list of questions. I mean, it's very comprehensive. And the messages I get from patients are just amazing. The feedback that they give me, like, I use these questions. I could not believe what my doctor said. Like, I'm never going back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because when you ask the right questions, you get to the truth, right? Mm-hmm. That's what attorneys do, right? They're experts in asking the right questions that will lead them to the truth about, you know, a matter.
Yes.
And same way, you have to be an investigative journalist in your own care and ask these questions, and that way, you know, you're going to get some answers that are going to make you think twice about moving forward with therapy. Or maybe the answers you get will reinforce your confidence in the therapy. That's great. But don't go into something and agree to something blindly that you don't understand at all, and put all of your faith, hope, and trust in a guy or a woman who won't even know your name if they saw you in the grocery store tomorrow. Like, why would you do that?
Makes sense, yeah.
And we know that chemotherapy is highly toxic. We know that it causes cancer to become more aggressive. We know it can cause secondary cancers, new unrelated cancers in the body. We know it causes massive damage, head-to-toe damage in the body. Brain damage, lung damage, liver damage, heart damage, immune system destruction, digestive system damage, peripheral neuropathy, that's where you lose the feeling, nerve damage in your fingers and toes, and you can lose the feeling in your fingers, you know, permanently. In some cases, chemo, this came out in the news this year, there's a lawsuit pending right now because I can't remember the name of which chemo drug it was, but there's a chemo drug that it's just since come out that caused permanent hair loss. And I believe it was related to breast cancer or ovarian cancer, but a certain percentage of patients, women that were given this drug, lost their hair, and it never grew back.
Mm-hmm.
And the drug company knew that it was a side effect, and it was not disclosed to the patients.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know. So, and by the way, I mean, permanent hair loss is in the scope of damage that chemo does to your body is actually pretty low compared to it destroying your immune system and making your cancer more aggressive. So anyway, I mean, I can rant on this for days,
yeah.
But the overall message here, again, is that if you're a patient, if you have cancer, or if you're trying to care for someone with cancer, do not agree to anything you don't understand. Do not move forward in a therapy that doesn't make sense to you, that your instincts are telling you no. Doesn't matter who's telling you need to do it, your doctor, your family, your best friend, or whatever. If your heart and soul and your guts are telling you don't do this, listen to them, right? Take time, step back, start reading and researching, right? Start going to YouTube and Googling and learning from all these amazing people in the world that have come forward and said, hey, I had cancer, I changed my life, my body healed, and here I am. 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. There's an interview on my site with Carl Helvey. He's the longest living lung cancer survivor. He was diagnosed in the 70s, refused conventional treatment, used alternative methods and diet, healed, and he's still alive. The longest living lung cancer survivor just happens to be the guy who refused conventional therapy. How great is that?
Yeah, wow.
And so, you know, when a patient or when you start to see these stories and hear from these people, these are real people, like regular people. They're not all just trying to sell a book or a course or whatever. They're just regular people like you and me, mm-hmm. that, you know, that just want to share their story because they're so excited that they got well, and they know it'll encourage more people. And so that's the point, right? The point of what I do is to give people real hope and encouragement and information that they can, that will empower them to take control of their life, make radical changes, take massive action, and repair, regenerate, and detoxify, right? And ultimately, heal. That's the goal.
A couple more questions before we come to an end. Tell us, you talk about also this break cancer scam. Can you tell us a little bit about this? What is this?
About Komen?
No, you would think that, you know, so much money has been donated. So many, you have so many causes that are out there, you know, to eradicate cancer. But it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. It's growing. So are these causes out there? Are they helping, really?
The one statistic that is the most, I'm so glad you asked this question, thank you. The most powerful statistic that the world needs to know is that the death rate for cancer, okay, that's the ultimate measure of whether or not we're making progress, right? The death rate. The overall death rate for all cancers has only improved by 5% since 1950. 5% improvement since 1950. So if that doesn't tell you that the cancer industry is failing and that the billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars raised and spent on cancer research have been largely a waste, well, then your analytical mind is broken, right? So the cancer death rate has only improved 5% in 50 years for all cancers averaged out. So that means a lot of them, no improvement, right? A few have childhood leukemia. The survival rate, 10-year survival is over 90%. Testicular, 10-year survival is, again, about 90%. And then lymphomas. But our main cancer killers, breast, colon, and lung, there's been almost no improvement in the death rate. Same with liver cancer, stomach cancer, brain cancer, pancreatic cancer. So there's a huge long list of solid tumor cancers known as epithelial cancers that have made almost zero progress in an improvement in the death rate. So You can't buy into and listen to all this hype about, oh, there's more cancer survivors than ever before, right? Because the reason there's more survivors is because we have a huge industry of that is over-diagnosing people. And when you over-diagnose cancer, when you call things that aren't cancer, cancer, then you create thousands and thousands of new survivors that improve your statistics. But the true measure is the death rate. And anyone can research this freely on Google, you know.
Yeah.
The overall cancer death rate has only improved 5% since 1950. Google it.
And last but not the least, tell us your daily regimen, your routine. What do you eat? How much do you exercise? You eat 3-4 times a day. Usually, you know, in the culture, if somebody's active, they say, okay, you should eat small meals 5-6 times a day. That's kind of the norm. But how about you? What? How much are you eating a day, and how much do you exercise do you do?
All right, and exercise are the fundamentals of health. So you need exercise every day, and I move my body every day and exercise in some way. What? Even if it's just walking.
Even just walking.
Also, yeah, walking 30 minutes a day is awesome. Like, do that. It's great.
You don't need weights for that, right? Just walk.
No. Yeah. Just moving your body circulates your blood and your lymph system. And if you're, you know, if you get a little bit more intense and break a sweat, you're improving your detoxification. You're getting fresh air and sunshine. Walking's amazing. So getting out there, whether it's, you know, walking, biking, running, karate, yoga, CrossFit, whatever, it's all good. Like, movement is life, and you need to exercise every day. As far as the diet goes, the most protective diet against cancer, the best diet to protect against it and to help heal it is a plant-based diet. Plant-based diet. Fruits and vegetables, like crazy. Don't be afraid of fruit or the sugar in fruit. It's wonderful. It's good for you. It will help you get well. right? So an aggressive, and there's a lot of different variations of the plant-based diet that people use to get well. I did like a raw vegan diet, you know, to tons of raw vegetables and fruit. Some people do the macrobiotic diet, which is more focused on just brown rice and some cooked vegetables and sea vegetables and some fruit. Like this guy I mentioned that'll be posted on the site very soon, heal his brain cancer that way. Some people do the Gerson therapy. Gerson therapy is also a plant-based diet that involves more cooked vegetables, but there's a lot of potatoes in there and root vegetables and lots of juices throughout the day. So, and then there's the Nori protocol, and that's an all-fruit diet to heal cancer. I know multiple people that have healed cancer with an all-fruit diet, but they all have this in common, plant-based diets. You cut out the meat, the dairy, the oils, the sugar, processed sugar, salt, all the processed foods, all the junk. Of course you have to stop drinking and smoking and, you know, taking drugs, prescription or illegal. If you're taking prescription drugs, you need to consult with your doctor. You know, I don't want you to stop taking a drug and your heart stop tomorrow. But prescription drugs all have side effects in the body that can suppress your immune system, be hard on your liver, cause, you know, there's hundreds of effects, right, that prescription drugs can cause in the body. And if you're sick and have a problem, the drug you're taking may be causing it, right? Maybe they cause new problems. So people take a prescription drug, then they have to take another drug for the side effect of that drug. So it's side effects for the side effects for the side effects, right? And it's just this, like, you know, I've met people that take 10, 12 prescription drugs. It's crazy. It is crazy. So I even forgot what your original question was because I'm just ranting.
Yeah, I was asking about kind of getting to know your daily routine. Like,
oh, yeah. So plant-based diet. Yep. Thanks. Plant-based diet, absolutely. What I did was the first 90 days, it was 100% raw. It's all raw fruits and vegetables. And the details are on my site. And then from there, we dialed it back to 80% raw, 20% cooked. And because my metabolism was really high, I needed more cooked food just for the calories. So brown rice and sweet potatoes and quinoa are just wonderful cooked foods for the body. Oatmeal is wonderful. So the great thing about it is there's no perfect diet. And there are a lot of different ways to get well, but they're all centered around a diet that's rich in food from the earth. It's a very simple whole foods, lots of fruits and vegetables diet. Again, there's lots of details on my site that people can dig in, but that's the way I eat now.
Yeah.
So 12 years later, right? What did I have for breakfast? I had oatmeal.
Yeah.
With flax and hemp and chia seeds and almonds. And usually I have like some blackstrap molasses in there because it's a great source of iron and potassium, magnesium, and antioxidants. And I'll put fresh berries, blueberries, or raspberries in it. I mean, just
how about cinnamon. How about your cancer salad?
And then, how about your special cancer salad?
Giant cancer fighting salad, which I ate twice a day for about 2 years, is loaded with the most potent anti-cancer vegetables. Broccoli, cauliflower, kale, onions, mushrooms. Did I say onions? Yes. and then topped with garlic, oregano, cayenne pepper, a little bit of olive oil, apple cider vinegar, sauerkraut. I mean, it's this delicious, delicious salad that has the most potent anti-cancer vegetables in it. All of them.
Yeah. That's living food. And, it's living food you're putting in your body.
Living food. And my goal was really simple. It was to overdose on nutrition. I apologize if you hear like construction in the background. There's some workers in my house doing some stuff downstairs. But yeah, it was just to overdose on nutrition. I figured, look, anything's better than chemo. So, I mean, I'm willing to do anything as long as it doesn't hurt me.
And that's at chrisbeatcancer.com?
Chrisbeatcancer.com.
And do you also recommend there's a documentary called The Truth About Cancer, A Global Quest? Anything else like this that you recommend people watch?
The Truth About Cancer is a docuseries, like 9-part docuseries, all about the cancer industry and people that have healed. I'm featured in it. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much, Chris. Hopefully we can have you back. We'll get some response from this program. Some people have some more questions. We can bring you on again, God willing, and we can have another nice discussion. I really thank you for your time.
Thank you. This is great.
I want to thank you guys. I told you you'd enjoy this week's episode. These are things that we as a community, we need to start talking more about. If your events consist of cookie cake and ice cream and pops and sugary foods, this is a sign right now that You got to stop. You got to eliminate those toxic foods. Those are toxic foods. And replace them with what your children have a right to, what you have a right to. It's a God-given right. It's right under your nose. It's the real food that's been put in the earth that the Creator has blessed all of us with. You got to buy that. You got to incorporate that into your lifestyle and eliminate all of these toxic foods. It's something that we need to talk about because our kids are being affected. You're being affected. Your family's being affected. It doesn't make sense that kids, this is the first generation, they're not expected to outlive their parents. Heart disease in kids, cancer in kids, diabetes. They're obese, overweight. So you're either working towards good health or you're doing the opposite. So now I'm talking about it. I want the community leaders to talk about it. I want them to take the matter serious, to get informed. There's a system, and if that system is something that we've been used to, you go see the man in the white coat, he knows best. But what if that system is broke? There's a deficiency there. Then we got to find an alternative. Take the good from that system, but know that it's limited in this area. If your doctor doesn't study nutrition, this is a known fact. He doesn't know. He doesn't know to educate you on that. And he has to be humble to that aspect. And he has to grow from that. Otherwise, that's arrogance, thinking that I know best. No. The only one that knows all is the one who created us, who's the all-knowing. We're human beings. We're fallible. We're weak. And we're learning. We're on a way to learning and exploring each and every day. But this is one of the things that if you dig a little bit, if you study a little bit, it's something so profound, yet simple to understand, that the food we're eating is either living food that's helping us to live better, or it's fake food, toxic food, that's destroying us. Now, this is a living testimony to that, our guest of this week. And there's so many people out there that don't see the food disease correlation. So I encourage you to look more into this. What do I get out of it? I get out of it that tomorrow you meet me and you say, thank you for that great advice. I'm living healthier. I'm able to play more with my kids. I'm ecstatic. I'm elated because now my life is more fruitful. It's more beneficial. I have more energy. I'm alive and well. And I'm enjoying the blessing that the Creator's blessed me with. The vehicle that's going to get me through life. It's fully functioning, and it's running smoothly. Thank God. So make sure you take the matter serious. Start taking your health not for granted, but treating it like the blessing that it is. It's a priceless blessing. So make sure you're caring for that blessing of health. So we gave you some simple yet profound advice with my friend Chris here on The Dean Show. And I look forward to having more talks like this, but I want to see more people talking about it, taking the matter seriously, especially the community leaders who are out there, to get informed on this and to advise and to caution people and to give that good advice that has directly to do with good help and preserving the blessing that the Creator, God Almighty, has given us of health. Thank you guys very much. Subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.